This is such an important gospel passage that Deacon Javier has just proclaimed for us. Not just because Jesus' words are the solution to a happier life. They are. And not just because our parish would be more graceful if we followed his directives here. They would be. And not just because our city would be more civil or our country would be more peaceful. They would be. The things that Jesus is asking us to do in this passage from Luke, loving our enemies, forgiving sinners, being merciful to those who maybe don't deserve mercy at all, more than anything, following Jesus' words here will actually make us more ourselves. I'm going to say that again. What Jesus says in this gospel passage is a way for us to become more ourselves. That, I think, is the most interesting message of this gospel. Let me explain. Stay with me here. It comes down to the very beginning. The spiritual life, all of life, really, coming to understand what life is about coming to grips with the beginning. When God said, "Let us make man," let us make them, man and woman, in our own image. If this was the only passage from Scripture that you ever read in the Bible, if this was all you ever considered on the spiritual journey, you'd be doing well. In God's image and likeness is what spirituality is all about. In God's image and likeness is what this passage is all about. Father Merton once wrote, "To say that I am made in the image of God is to say that love is the reason for my existence, because God is love. Love is my true identity. Love is my true character. Love is my name." These profound words from Father Merton are what Jesus is trying to convey here. So let's dive into it a bit. Who's speaking in the passage? Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Word, who also once said, "Let us make them, man and woman, in our image." This passage is not so much about Luke telling us who we are. It's Luke quoting Jesus, who's telling us again who we are. As in the case in all the Gospels, the Word not only speaks through the pen of the author who writes the words, but the author is writing the words that are quoting the Word. This is why we call Scripture the Word of God. So just as the Word spoke you and me into existence in his own image in the beginning, the Word speaks here again and is trying to continue to create us in his image with these instructions for living. It's so interesting. If we try to understand the nature of God, this passage begins to make more sense. Father Ron Rollheiser explains that for as long as there's been religion, the question of judgment has dominated the conversation. God judging us and us judging each other. We humans have, most especially in religion, created a culture of judgment. Who said what to who? Who did what to who? Who stole this and who lied about that? What commandment has been broken and what will be God's punishment? This religious culture of judgment has even crept into secular society without even realizing it. CNN and Fox and MSNBC are actually, if you watch them, in the business of judging, as if politics has become a religion in itself, seeking to blame and banish. And with all of it, the question inevitably arises, If God, who is all loving, all merciful, all generous, if God is angry with us to the point of forever punishing us, does God ever send someone to hell? No. God doesn't send anyone to hell. People send themselves to hell. The nature of God is not to create hell and populate it with people. The nature of God is the opposite, to create all that is, you and me included, and to draw all of it, you and me included, into Him. Life is being drawn into Him. You are already on your way to heaven. This should be your mindset, that your life is a life that is being drawn into Him. And you have to choose. Do you want to be drawn into Him or not? That's what heaven is going to be like. All of this, all of us, in infinite participation with the grace of God. This is what you're practicing for by coming to Mass. Jesus explains in the Gospel of John, I will not judge those who hear me and don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge the world. And all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment, not by me, but by the truth I have spoken. Isn't that interesting? We normally think that God, by the way, when it says in the Nicene Creed, He will come again to judge the living and the dead, He's coming to judge their actions. Their actions are what bring judgment upon them. In other words, God isn't in the judgment business. He's in the salvation business. The problem is, you and I seem to be in the judgment business. And in doing so, we so easily distort our image, which is based, as I've said, on His image. The nature of God is to send His life into the world, and we can choose that life or reject it. So actually, if you think about it, we judge ourselves by the choices we make, which is maybe the most generous thing about God of all. Pope John Paul II once said, hell is God's great compliment to human freedom. Isn't that interesting? That hell is God's compliment to our human freedom. What he means by this is exactly what Jesus means in that quote from the Gospel of John I just shared, and it's exactly what Father Rollheiser means when he says that God doesn't send people to hell, they send themselves to hell in the freedom and truth of their actions. Hell exists. There's no doubt about it. But hell doesn't exist because God created it. Judgment exists, not because of God, but because of us and our choices. So, let's go back to the gospel that Deacon Javier just proclaimed for us from the Gospel of Luke. The more I read over this passage this week, the more it seems to me that Jesus is explaining the difference between heaven and hell. This passage that we just heard, Jesus is telling us the difference between heaven and hell. Think about it. Hating your enemies, cursing those who curse you, striking back at someone who strikes you, not sharing what you have with someone who needs what you have, demanding repayment to those who owe you, refusing forgiveness to those who've sinned, judging those who judge you. This is hellish. This is what it's going to be like in hell. You can almost hear Dante rewriting his Inferno, like being in hell is going to be the experience of infinite judgment. Being in hell is going to be infinite bill collectors demanding repayment from you, infinitely. Being in hell is going to be like an infinite grudge. Being in hell is going to be infinite cursing of one another. But on the other side, loving your enemies and blessing those who curse you and giving to those who don't give to you and being lenient to those who owe you and forgiving those who have sinned even gravely against you. And yes, holding judgment to those who might very well deserve judgment. This is what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be infinite mercy, infinite nonviolence, infinite forgiveness of debts, infinite giving of yourselves to others. This is what heaven is going to be like. Jesus is so wise, isn't he, in this passage? This whole diatribe from the sixth chapter of Luke's gospel is really Jesus explaining the difference between heaven and hell. That the very foundation of heaven is non-judgment, non-condemnation, non-violence. Heaven is going to be infinite non-violence. Or put another way, as Jesus so deftly explains, stop judging, stop condemning, stop holding grudges, stop being selfish, stop being greedy, and you will begin to understand what heaven is going to be like. Our life today should be practice for heaven. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be practicing for what it's going to be like in heaven. And oddly enough, we always think of heaven as some faraway place, up in the stars that we hope to one day get to. But Jesus never says that in the Gospels. In fact, he says the opposite. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us in this passage. You can begin to participate in the kingdom of heaven right now when you do the things that he tells you to do in this passage. This is what Jesus is trying to teach them, and he's trying to bring the kingdom of heaven to them and us. God's not interested in sending people to hell, even though his generosity is so infinite that he actually allows people to choose hell. God's nature is to not judge or condemn, but to forgive and be merciful. If we would just participate ourselves in his nature, we are created to be like him, which is why when we act like him, we become most authentically ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.